Dale, magandang araw sa iyo.
Magandang araw at maganda ka rin.
Ang sarap pakinggan yun, ano? Dale, paano ka nagsimula sa iyong pagiging artist-performer at paano ka nakilala?
Well, like everybody else, it starts from talent quest. As a young man, I've been trying to, to participate in a lot of singing contests. And fortunately, most of the time, I go home a winner. So I said to myself, maybe there's something here, you know, for me in the future.
And you mentioned you were 12 years old nung umalis ka sa bahay.
I was 12 years old, but I never went back to my parents, and that's the truth. Nagkita-kita lang kami ng aking mga magulang nung medyo malaki na rin ako.
At least ang importante, bumalik ka sa iyong mga magulang.
Hindi ako bumalik. Silang...
silang nakipag-date sa iyo at bumalik sa iyo.
Now I found out where my father was. And then I found out where my mother was when I was already trying to make a living as a performer. And that was the time that I had a wonderful relationship with them. But like I said, one of the reasons why I actually walked out from my parents is during the time that I was a young man, I never knew that there was a lie in the family. That lie was the fact that my mother and my father actually separated when I was only 5 years old. I thought, like everybody else, the parents go somewhere else for a living, and that was the impression that I gathered from my parents. When I heard it from another source during that time, it changes my way of thinking. Even as a young kid, I was very, very sensitive about the situation. I was very, very grown up. Because I was very sensitive, it hurt me big time.
So you're saying that it was a heartache that actually launched you into being another person and start to be that person that will turn out to be the you.
Yeah,
na
correct.
Nakilala sa pagiging entertainer. Nagsimula ka ng iyong career as a musician sa Maynila na?
Not as a musician, because, you know, I was more on singing more than anything else. As a matter of fact, now that I am playing several musical instruments, I don't even remember going to school to learn it. Even my singing, I never have any proper training whatsoever in music because I was a street kid.
So
as a matter of fact, I haven't even finished my high school. See?
That's practically you are a self-made musician then.
During that time, I didn't, you know, I thought that it was just me. You know, I'm brilliant. I was a young man, you know, and I have a lot of ambition, and that's one of the reasons why I ended up doing things that I'm not even sure whether it's going to be successful or not, but I do it anyway, just to make sure to prove that I can do things.
And you ended up being successful?
In a way, I wasn't really successful. I mean, we have ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as an entertainer that just zooms up.
Yeah.
You know, without encountering a lot of snags along the way. I have to admit that I never really reached the peak that I wanted to achieve, you know. And I'm very, very appreciative and thankful that I'm acknowledged for doing what I do best, and that's singing.
Well, nakilala ka na, kumbaga, of sound alike ni Frank Sinatra, and that made you very popular, hindi lamang dito sa Pilipinas, but all over the world. And naging mainstay ka sa Las Vegas. How do you feel about being called Frank Sinatra sound alike?
I'm the reluctant Sinatra sound alike. Only because ever since I can remember, I've always wanted to establish my own thing, you know. But then again, my favorite singer, actor during the time was Pancho Magalona.
Mm-hmm.
And Pancho Magalona actually was trying to sound like Sinatra, and I didn't know who Sinatra was. So the first song that I remember that's supposed to be Sinatra's, but that I learned it not from Sinatra, but from Pancho.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just, he was my superstar in my mind. I tried to sound like him. I tried to look like him. I tried to walk like him. I tried to dress up like him and project myself just like Pancho did, mm-hmm. although I was a young man.
Mm-hmm.
Until I already have a little bit of acceptance as a singer. But every time I have the opportunity to sing with people, when somebody comes to me and say, hey, you sound like Sinatra, I said, no, I sound like Pancho. And that's the truth.
Okay. You made it as a singer, you made it as a performer through those years, and actually hanggang ngayon, as of last year, kumakanta ka pa rin. Pero there was also something that changed in your life at ang pagiging evangelist mo ngayon. Can you tell us a little
bit about that? As a matter of fact, during the time that I was doing well in Europe, you know, they used to put me in a helicopter and do 45-minute shows in different area in Europe. I was living in London during that time. And because I was earning, I mean, not a great big deal of money like the Sinatras and the Pericomos, but I was making at least £200 for 45 minutes singing in different places. So I would do sometimes three shows in one night, but they would put me in a helicopter and fly me over to different places. And by the time I get to do during the time the helicopter is very noisy, you know, and everything like this. By the time I get to do the third shows,
yes,
my voice is almost gone. But I said, I'm doing okay, so who needs God during that time? And they said, this is the reason why I said to myself, I'm telling anybody that's listening right now, if it is really your time for God to say, enough is enough, you follow my path, you cannot deny him. I was a bad kid, only because I was already full of yabang inside of me because of the acceptance of a vast majority of people that accepted what I do. And even having the opportunity to sing among other artists for the royalty of England.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this, I said, hey, I'm doing okay. So I was abusive towards other Christians.
So yung pagiging evangelist mo ngayon, it's interesting because that makes you like a prodigal son returning to the father.
Truthfully.
And in the same token, coming back to Adelaide, how does that make you feel?
My last concert in Australia was Sydney Town Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As a matter of fact, I had Lillian De Los Reyes opened up for me, together with a British singer by the name of Jerry Hatch. And it was quite a memorable and, I would say, quite historical. It was a very successful show. After that, I did a lot of RSL Club. I've seen Australia more than ordinary Australian. I've seen the entire continent. You know?
Yeah, because I remember you mentioned that one of the interviews I did of you, that you were actually here as far back as 1971
when I arrived in Darwin.
Okay. And you became an Australian citizen.
In Australia, 1972.
So you've been you are an Australian coming back to Australia, returning home to his home.
Mm. Certainly, because I've done a lot of shows. I've been to Cairns, I've been to Tasmania, I've been to Melbourne, and I guested in shows like Mike Willis's show, Ernie Sigley's show, and Mike Wells during that time. And I did a lot of commercials for companies. And even in Sydney, when I was living in Adelaide, they used to fly me to do voiceover in Sydney kind of thing. So I was doing well. But 1983, after my shows in Cairns, I drove from Cairns to Sydney. I think that was about 85 hours nonstop driving with my little son. And as soon as I arrived, as soon as I opened the door, all of a sudden it hit me right here in my head. I have to go to Hawaii. But I went to Hawaii only to visit a very dear friend by the name of Kit Sampson, who was the band leader of Kahala Hilton. I went there without any intentions of going to the mainland, meaning Los Angeles. But that's what happened, because I become friendly with the people in Hawaii. And there was a person by the name of Harvey Ragsdale, and he was the one that actually produced music for Elvis Presley. And when he heard that I was there, that I was singing and everything, he offered me to tour all over Hawaii. And because of that tour, I become friendly with the Hawaiian families. I mean, because of this, I ended up in Los Angeles. But they sponsored me. They gave me a Caucasian manager, Gary Chamberlain, to go to Hollywood and make it for myself. And they were supporting me $3,500 a week.
Mm-hmm.
just to be able to go there and become a star.
That's very interesting, yung mga pinagdaanan mo sa buhay, ano, Dale. You are thinking of settling in Australia.
Definitely,
and you have picked a specific location to retire in. Saan lugar yon?
Oh, you know, I was in Orange, because after my concert in Las Vegas at the Celebrity Hall, I collapsed, and I ended up in the hospital for 1 month. So my son Aaron wouldn't take no for an answer. I have to go home, and that's the reason why I was immediately given an immediate emergency passport to be able to fly back right away, because, you know, I was really quite sick, and I was practically half blind because two of my eyes were really suffering from cataract. Now I'm okay now, you know. And that was a good move for my son to be able to bring me back in Orange. And that's when I was already in Orange, and I was doing well. All of a sudden, I feel fine now. And I said, I'm going back. My voice as a singer could possibly go away any day, because I'm now 80 years old. I was born in 1937. So I said to myself, I got to, you know, I had a taste of directing a movie which was shown in Manhattan. And I said, I quite enjoy that, directing and acting. And so I said, Aaron, I really like to pursue that. And this is one, I said, I have to find a place where I can really focus and become productive. And that's why I met you and through Ramon and everything. And it's all came into the right pieces, you know, and this is why we are here now.